Good night, everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of the Warrior Call podcast, brought to you by SoccerWarriors.net. So tonight in the studio, I have co-host Tallman. What's going on, Tallman?
Much greetings to the Trinidad Tobago football in public.
All right, and our special guest tonight is owner of W Connection, David John Williams. What's up, David?
Nice to be here. Good night to all the SoccerWarriors fans.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us here on the podcast. This is just we try to do this monthly, where we just a way of the fans interacting with personalities within the Trinidad and Tobago football fraternity, and I think we catch you at a good time here. I just like to start off by saying congratulations on winning the 2011 to 2012 Pro League, W Connection champions.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. It's one of our special championships. It's something that we will cherish for a long, long time, and it is really, really a special feeling.
Yeah, man, I know the race kind of went down to the wire this year. I think right down to the last day, we were kind of head on head with TN Tech. And you all came out victorious.
It went down to the wire this year, and it's particularly pleasing because there are several occasions where it went down to the wire and we were not so fortunate. I remember two occasions. One, we lost the league by 1 point. We did a win against Jabote in the final day, and the game drew, and Jabote beat us by 1 point. I remember the year with Joe Public. We ended up on 61 points each, I think. They scored 53 and conceded 23. We scored 53 and conceded 24. Lost the league by one goal. So we have been in those situations before. And this time we came out on top. And at least we didn't have that last day disappointment that we had on two previous occasions.
Nice, man. I mean, tell us about the just that last game, that going into that last game with everything on the line. What was the mood like in the camp, in the W Connection camp?
Well, I mean, I must be credit to the technical staff. The mood was, we never put pressure on the players. My exact words to the players in the dressing room when we come up, you know, just before we pray, you know, together, although I don't have any team talk, I said, guys, a win could guarantee us two things. One, a win could guarantee us second place and automatic qualification to the Caribbean Cup Championship for next season, as well as a win could guarantee us the championship. If Caledonia does us a favor, so the objective of the game is just to go there and win. And that was it. No pressure other than that. No pressure to win the championship. Just go there and win.
Nice, man. I mean, Tallman, were you following the Pro League season going into the last day?
Yeah, well, I mean, I always followed from beginning to end, you know, with all the trials and tribulations, with all the rescheduling, with all the problems with referees, with grounds, with state of emergency, you know, with the, you know, defense force, police, you know, being a all these matches being postponed. So, yeah, I mean, I followed all the way through. And I guess, you know, during the last week, is as what they say in, I think it was what, Sir Alex Ferguson, who coined it a squeaky bum time.
Yeah.
You know, she just going, you know, straight down to the wire. So I thought it was very exciting. But unfortunately, it wasn't really, I think it wasn't taken advantage of, this closeness of the race to really hype what, you know, whatever few fans are out there. It, you know, really didn't make a big deal of it, but anywhere else it would have been a big deal, because here you have TN Tech, newly promoted, you know, almost pipping a seasoned campaigner at the finish line. So it would have been a wonderful story, but congrats.
It would have been a more wonderful story had TN Tech been playing W Connection on the last day.
Well, yeah, definitely.
In fairness to everybody, there was a bumper crowd down at Manny Ramsden because everybody expected TNTech to win the league. It was a sea of yellow. The cameras were in full effect down at Manny Ramsden Stadium. The script was written for TNTech to win the league. When you look at the statistics, you'll see that TNTech needed only a draw because we were going in with a plus 5 goal difference and they were going in at a plus 18 goal difference. Chances of beating Police 13-0 and they drawing the game is highly improbable. So in fairness, everything was centered around the Manny Ramsden Stadium and rightly so. But for me, I had I think I walked into the dressing room thinking, I got a feeling, real good feeling. And that was it. And the players always say, you know, Prezi boy, you should have been in camp today. You come in this thing, you think you're sounding real good. And that was my mood, you know. Although the pressure was always there, because I'm a very competitive individual and everybody knows that. But that was my song going into the dressing room. You know, when I walked into the dressing room, about 10 minutes before kickoff.
Now, were you keeping tabs on the score in the TNT game?
Well, the thing about it is that the goalkeeping coach, Trevor Nottingham, he normally sits in his stand for the full half to do whatever tactical work the head coach wants him to do. And he started sitting like two rows behind me. Caledonia scored very early in the game. I told me Caledonia didn't want it. I told him, I don't want to hear nothing about the game. Just tell me when it's finished. But I think that was something that was not possible. And then the next day, Tema won all. I said, Trevor, I don't want to hear nothing about the game, you know. But there's another lady, one of our fans, she's always there, you know, she's always at our game. She had a friend on BB, and it's modern day technology. And throughout the game now, they gave me an update, Caledonia, TNTech 2-1. You know, and I'm there talking to the head coach on the bench, you know, 10 to all. And then it was 20 minutes to go. We were leading 3-1. We were leading 3-1 with about maybe 25 minutes to go. But about 20 minutes to go in the Caledonia game, somebody said it's 3-2. And I related to the bench. Against my better wishes, because they kept informing me, and I couldn't help it but relate to the bench. And I distinctly remember when Caledonia went 3-2 up, the message somehow got on to the players. And if you realize, in the Police game, we probably scored four goals in the last 20 minutes of the game. It was like a celebration, although there was nothing guaranteed. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the message went out to the players. And I observed some football of high quality. The players, they were free. They were, you know, like a weight was off their shoulders. All be hearing that Caledonia was leading 3-2. I mean, and our game finished about maybe 3 minutes after the Caledonia game, you know, and when the messenger came through as we had won, you know, sorry to say, but I broke down and cried like a baby. very embarrassed about that, but... there were pictures on camera about that, and the message got through to the technical staff and the bench and so on. And you look in the video, you look at the video of the game, George Al just sank to his knees. And such as this, you know, George Al is not normally a very emotional person, but I think on that particular night, he showed some emotion, what it meant to him, particularly in the circumstances where we went with a very, very young team. And we decided that we will rebuild. Nobody expected us to do so well. And against all that, amongst other things, losing players to the National Olympic team on 3 different occasions, unplanned. I think twice planned, of course, one with the qualifiers in St. Kitts. We knew about that. We lost 5 players to that team. 6 players at the time, sorry. And then the Pan American Games came up unplanned. We lost 6 players to that team. And then earlier in the season, we lost Hector to a contract in Vietnam. And then in January, we lost Mikel Williams to a contract in Poland. And then this long month break for the Olympic team to prepare for the Olympic qualifiers. We lost five players to that team. So we were really running on bare bones, you know, and on fumes, as we see in Trinidad. And the players really rose to the occasion. The technical staff kept their belief. Players stepped up to the plate. Under 18 players came up to the plate and held their own. And against that backdrop, it was really, really a special championship.
So, David, just stepping back, I know you mentioned about going into the season with a goal to rebuild. And I know in seasons past, you know, there was some criticism with, you know, using players from overseas players and stuff, and you went a different route this season. What kind of drive that decision and how you felt it turned out eventually?
Well, I just want to go back in time. A lot of people have never really appreciated what W Connection was trying to do and what W Connection did. I mean, we were basically coming into a league that was newly started, but we were a known quantity. I mean, we were founded in 1999, the first year of professional football. We were basically a fed match team, so everybody took us for granted. It was a fed match team. They were the Joe Public, they were the Defense Force, they were the Point Forward, they were centers, they were all the other established teams that were vying to come into the Pro League, and nobody knew about W Connection. We wanted to establish a brand. We wanted to establish a professional environment, and we wanted to create something that was special. And we went into the market and sourced players out of St. Lucia, sourced players out of Brazil in our second year, players out of Haiti. And everybody thought that we were just a foreign club. But in 1999, we started our youth program too. And gradually over the years, you saw that we were continually phasing out the foreigners who have served us very, very well. And a lot of people didn't realize that in our squad, while we may have about maybe 14 overseas foreign pros, as they say, we had about 16 local Trinidadians in our team. And we got a lot of stick for that. But we will always had more Trinidadians than foreigners in our team. Having said that, the academy started to grow. And what you're seeing today now is the fruits of that academy that started in 1999. And if you look at Shannon Winchester, who was part of our Pulse Academy, it gives us great joy that he's leading our senior team at age 20 and doing remarkably well. And people don't see those stories, but yet we get criticized for all those things. So it was a planned process. It was a planned process. Addition to that, obviously, financial constraints will drive you in that particular direction, but it has always been a dream of the club to go total local. And at the end of the day, you see what has happened. We took a very, very young team. We took a conscious decision that we needed to build a team that will serve us for 5 to 7 years. The life of a football team is 5 to 7 years. And we took that decision, and now we're ahead of the game.
Now, David, how do you balance trying to ultimately go totally local with the export of your better players in terms of...
It is really a difficult balancing act, and it's not an easy thing for us to do. And one of the things that I have always expressed concern about is for the league losing the better players. If you look at Mexico and you look at other leagues, they try to hold on to their best players. Mexico is a prime example of that. You hardly see Mexican players playing all over the world. They play in their local domestic league because they are well paid and they're well looked after. Unfortunately, in our game, we have a fledgling pro league that, might I add, has to survive and will survive, and it is growing in areas, not growing in all the areas that we expect. But it's a very, very difficult situation to balance sending our players abroad for greener pastures and at the same time trying to win a league. I mean, we took a conscious decision that when Houston Hector left, it was an opportunity to go to Vietnam for him to further his career in terms of financial stability. He was 27. He had served the club well. The national team was out of the World Cup qualifiers. Opportunity came for Vietnam. He was getting decent money and all that stuff like that. And I was criticized for treating people like animals. And now that you see a lot of people are going into the Asian market, and I always saw the Asian market as the future market anyway. And so it's very difficult. And then the opportunity came for Mikel to go to Poland. He was one of our key central defenders. But how do you deny a guy an opportunity to go to Poland and further his career? It's very, very difficult, I must say. But at the end of the day, it worked out for us in this year's championship. How long could we hold on to the players for? It's not for me to say, because I believe that we have a lot of quality youngsters in our team. We look at people like Winchester, Jamal Williams, Jovin Jones, Neil Benjamin, Matthew Wooling, and the list goes on. All players just 20 and under with a big, big future in the game.
Now, David, as you mentioned, the younger players coming through from Double Connection. Give us like some of your views on the talent coming through, like in particular, like you just mentioned Matthew Wooling. I know he had a trial with Spurs, among others. What do you see in the future for these guys?
You see, I want to tell you something, and a lot of people at Double Connection, we are very serious about what we want to do with football. The education of the young player is very, very, very important. I'll make a revelation on the podcast tonight that every team in Double Connection now does video session, video analysis of the game. Today, Leon Snow is supposed to be on the 14 team, had a video session with his team because we videotape all our games. On Saturday, Brian had a video session with his under 18 team. I mean, there are no other teams in the pool that are doing this with their youth team. We do it with our senior team, game in, game out. It's not only about playing the football, it's the tactical approach, the tactical analysis, improving the players' education in the game. So you find that the talent that's coming out of Double Connection is not only the natural talent, but the educated talent. And people think that this football is serious. It's more serious than a heart attack. We take our game very, very seriously. We take our youth program very, very seriously. If you look at our under 18 team this year, you will see there are 6 guys in that under 18 team who are training with the senior team, who have played for the senior team sometime this season. So that augurs well for us in the future. Matthew Wooling can still play under 16 football, but he's not playing there. He'll either play the reserve team, and might I add, we won the reserve league with those same under 18 players, because you have to have 7 under 20 players in your reserve team. So the talent that is there, what is lacking in Trinidad and Tobago is the education process. We at the Connection try our best to try and educate the players. It's not an easy task, but when you have to consider that in 1 week you have to videotape probably 4 to 5 games. The senior team plays twice, the reserve team plays once, and then you have 3 youth games on the weekend. That's 5 games or 6 games that you have, your camera people have to work on. It's not an easy task. So there are a lot going on behind the scenes at Double Connection that people don't realize. If you look at our youth statistics, you'll find that we are top on the under 13, we are on the 14 division, we're second in the under 16 division, and we are top in the under 18 division. It's not happening by accident, and we see the role of our youth players be very, very serious. And the talent that is coming through, I see a great future for the game. So long as these people are continue the education process, I think football has a long way to go.
David, how do players reach into Double Connection? Do you have a scouting network?
I will reveal that we have 2 paid scouts in Trinidad and Tobago that we pay on a monthly basis to view talent for us. One of the scouts are Celeste Figaro. A lot of people don't know that. We don't go and brag and boast about what we do. We do things in a very quiet way. We scout. We have scouts being paid to do a job. We get a salary every month to bring the scout, to bring the player to the connection, to view the talent, for us to look at them and all that stuff like that. We have another scout in the colleges league. so that we have our scouting network well organized.
Okay, now with the Pro League, I mean, I am of the firm belief that really for our national game to improve, the Pro League needs to improve, and it needs to be of such quality that that it would be reflected in our national performances. Now, the Pro League has been heavily criticized by local foreign coaches, whatever. You've been there since the, since the beginning, in 1999. I mean, what's really missing to take the Pro League forward, to bring the fans up, to raise the level of the game, and to retain, and in process retain some of our better players?
Well, let's put it in perspective. You look at 2020 cricket. You know, if somebody walks in the morning and says the first prize in the Pro League will be $1 million, you know immediately fans will be attracted. Immediately everybody will take it a little more seriously, right? Now, what has been responsible for funding not being into non-league football? Lack of accountability and all that stuff like that. We have been faced with a stigma of people not wanting to put money into non-league football. Let's use a hypothetical situation. If a team is being funded $1.5 million and gets $1.5 million every year for, let's say four years, you know the league is going to be on a different level. There's a different comfort zone for the players. Nobody can tell me that they are not six corporations, in Trinidad, or 10 corporations that can put $1.5 million into each team, into Trinidad and Tobago, to ensure the sustainability of the professional game. Now, the professional game goes beyond the professional game. When you look at professional football in Trinidad and Tobago, it is more than just professional football. It's a social program. It creates employment for people who don't have the life skills and the education to back it up, and the league needs some sort of stability to push it forward. You look at DGCL. Yes, they are involved in the league, and we are happy for DGCL being involved in the league. But are they giving us value for what the mileage that they're getting? I'll have to say no. So yeah, there are a lot of factors. I might add that, I mean, if everybody takes the game as serious as we at the Federation take the game, I'm not saying that there are not teams that are taking the game as serious as we are, the league will be better off. And the league can go leaps and bounds. But might I also add that if the league doesn't survive, it's going to be the end of top class football for Trinidad and Tobago for a long, long time.
So you think it more? I mean, is it for a lack of effort in trying to get these corporations on board, or I mean, what do you think is really the hesitancy of them, wanting to get involved?
Well, let's take for example TNTEC let's go to Petrotrin, for example. Petrotrin came into the league, and Petrotrin has the funds to have a professional team. And why was Petrotrin came into the league? Because there was a guy called Arnold Cornell who liked football and was able to drive the management in a particular way to get Petrotrin into the professional league and get the funding out of the board. In TNTEC's case, you had a guy called Omar Khan who has been driving that pathway because he's 14 inclined, right? Now, we see that Omar Khan has now left the TNTEC board. What will be the fate of TNTEC? We hope that they will continue into the league. So there are enough people in the society that are strategically located, that have a mindset of sport at those board levels. So it's not for want of trying.
Right. So it's basically maybe involved in not seeing the potential returns on investment.
Yes, of course. I totally agree with you. And, you know, nobody has ever really tried to do an in-depth study on what, how many people this professional league reaches. All right, we have basically five competitions going on. We have a senior competition going on. We have a reserve league that just finished. We have under 14, under 16, and under 18 going on. You have eight teams in the league, right? In each, let's say the senior team has 20, 25 on the roster, right? Let's say you're under 18 have 20, you're under 16 have 20, and you're under 14 have 20. I mean, that's 80 people. By 18, that's 640 people that you're reaching, right? When you add the family attachment to that, when you add the friends, the aunties, the this and that, you're reaching a lot of people. Then you have your small academy. At the connection, we have over 60 people in our academy running from age 4 to age 10 every Saturday morning. I mean, that's a lot, and that is pretty expensive to run. And nobody seems to see the social impact that is creating. Now, everybody will not become a professional footballer, but you know what? The game teaches you life skills. The game teaches you team building. The game gives you character, you know, and all that stuff like that. To have young people in a structured environment, week in, week out, goes a long, long way to getting a lot of our people off the streets. And if we can show them an avenue for a return as a job, it can go a long, long way in Trinidad and Tobago. And I think we are thankful for the small subvention that we get for the government. But I think corporate Trinidad and Tobago can do a lot more for Trinidad and Tobago football.
Yeah, totally agree with you, David. Now, I just want to step off the football now and just ask about the situation with John Michael Williams and his fiance. Can you provide us any update on what's going on with that?
Well, she's coming in and out of consciousness. She's allowed to go home on weekends, see if she can get back she was in trauma coma. So she's in and out. She's shown some slight improvement, and that's about it for the while. And as you said, I have to really commend John Michael Williams, because he had led the team admirably, even in the face of adversity. And I think, you know, we want to dedicate the championship to him, because he has always kept the faith in the team. He has bought into the program that we were doing. He gave the younger players self-belief. And even in his trying times, you know, he just did his job, and he did it, admirably.
Okay, and now that the season is over, for the next year, for the next season and beyond, what is the future hold for W Connection?
Well, the season is far from over. We have two clubs. We have the Lupazine Gold Shield, and we have the Pro Bowl Knockout Championship. And it's at that on May, between May 1st and 6th, we have the second round of the Caribbean Cup Championship. And if we qualify there, the final round of the Caribbean Cup Championship is between 26th and 30th of May. So there's a lot of football for W Connection to play in. We want to challenge for those two other cups, and we want to win the Caribbean Cup Championship to go on to CONCACAF. We all always believe in playing football at the highest level. We think that we owe it to Trinidad and Tobago, having not qualified for the Olympic Games and having not qualified for the second round of the World Cup qualification, that we need to go up there and represent Trinidad and Tobago in the best possible manner to give Trinidad and Tobago respectability and its rightful place in the Caribbean region as well as the CONCACAF region. We'll be paying particular emphasis on that. It's going to be more important for us, because we have a pretty young squad, basically locally based players, and we hope that we can do Trinidad and Tobago a huge favor by doing that.
Yeah, David, as you brought up the CONCACAF Champions League, yeah, I mean, in the past, the Connection has you know, a couple times has gone, as I say, oh so close to getting to the knockout stages, right? What do you think is missing to get over that hurdle, to get out of the group stages?
Well, you know, in football, you know, sometimes a bit of luck. You need a bit of luck. You know, I distinctly remember we played Pachuca and we drew we lost 3-2 in Pachuca and came down to Trinidad and drew the game 3-3. Didn't have a bit of luck in that. Remember playing Chivas Guadalajara, beat them here with 10 men and lost 3-1 in Guadalajara. We were particularly disappointed 2 years ago when we just missed out by 1 point, when everybody expected Pumas to beat Comunicaciones. They went with a very, very inexperienced team and lost the game 2-1. So the luck wasn't with us. I think we have done admirably at the CONCACAF level, but doing admirably is not good enough. Doing admirably well is not good enough. It's about delivering the good. I think we're going to make a serious effort this time to do that. And I think the players now are a lot more focused, a lot more hungry. And I think with a little luck, we can go one step better.
All right. And, you know, we definitely will be supporting W Connection all the way and hoping you'll do well and go on to the CONCACAF and represent us. If anybody's interested in getting W Connection merchandise and stuff like that, where would that be available?
Our office number 679-4721 or 679-4726 at W Connection offices in Point Vitas. This particular season we are doing some rebranding, rebuilding a new website, retooling the marketing end of the team. We are in talks with some potential sponsors. So this year we'll see a total rebranding. You know, my daughter Renee John Williams, who back from FIU graduated in marketing, has been doing a tremendous job in behind the scenes to rebrand W Connection, and by the start of the new season you'll see a new W Connection, a new brand, a new marketing trust to see if that we can support and to balance the book, so to speak, and we will not be depending too heavily on exporting our talent to balance the book. For the time being, we have to do that to try and balance the book, and that is our plan right now for the future.
Okay.
All right. You know what? I just want to take care of three things before we close out. One was we asked about Wooling earlier, but you didn't really provide.
Wooling went up to Tottenham. Wooling went up to Tottenham. We just waiting on Tottenham to come back to us. The reports we had on the ground that he did very, very well. Even if Tottenham does not take him, we have interest from Lazio and AS Roma in Italy for him. Arsenal has shown an interest to have a look at him. The kid is 15, you know, and the Tottenham opportunity was a tremendous one for him. We hope that if it comes out positive, we'll have good maybe by tomorrow. But he's done well on Israel, and we see how it goes from there.
And how does that work in terms of, let's say, Tottenham decided to pick him up? How does it work with the whole sort of... I mean, you know, he's 15, but how does it work with the work permit issues or visa issues?
He'll have to be given a football scholarship type of thing, where he has to... it has to be education based and all that stuff like that.
Okay.
At 15, he has a good opportunity because, you know, the 6-5 rule is going to be coming into effect in about 3 to 4 years' time. So long as a player has been in an academy in Europe for more than 3 years, he's going to be considered homegrown. So you find that a lot of the European teams, in seeking out what we call foreign player, and in order to keep within the 6-5 rule, are looking for young talent that they can nurture and they can call homegrown. For example, Lionel Messi is going to be he plays for Argentina, but he's a homegrown talent because he has been at Barcelona since age 12. And a lot of people don't know that. And a lot of fans do not take time to investigate the rules, what has gone before, and all that stuff like that, and they just speculate. At W Connection, we try and do everything that is possible, do the research before we embark on opportunities for our players. Might I add that when we sent the Impair to Stoke City, it was just deliberate. I knew the Impair could not get a work permit, but I used the opportunity to put Zane in shop window, create the interest, the rest is history. The kid is in Genoa right now, and we hope that he's going to sign a deal within the next 6 weeks. You know, and if everything goes right, there's the possibility for an announcement coming soon. So, with the other players who are going to be going off to English clubs, who cannot get a work permit, but it's being done deliberately, and those are younger players, because they'll set the world alight, everybody becomes curious, and then they'll get into a window where somebody's going to take them.
Okay. All right, so second thing, has W Connection ever considered partnering with a foreign club or establishing some sort of relationship?
One of the objectives of sending Matthew to Tottenham was clearly that objective. It's something that we have been working on. We are trying to partner with either an English club, and of course, I'm a big fan of the Spanish league also, and we are trying to get some links with a Spanish club. But the main objective of sending Matthew to Tottenham is that we have been talking to people at Indino to try and establish that relationship with Tottenham Hotspur. It's still in its early stages. Nothing to report. It's just discussions, speculations, and all that stuff like that. We have always wanted to partner with the current club.
Okay, and the last thing I have is, what is it? It's about, 13 years or so. What keeps you involved in the game? And even from a practical standpoint as a businessman, it must take a toll on your finances and all that kind of stuff. Why are you still involved with W Connection?
It's one of the most difficult questions for me to answer, but I'll take some time to answer it. When I got into professional football, I believe that we at W Connection could make a difference. We can change the image of the game. We can change the environment to make better players in the game. That's one. Two, I think could have helped improve the business side of the game. But more importantly, in that, I have a belief. I believe that we can make a difference in the game. I believe that we can have a self-sustaining professional club in Trinidad and Tobago once it's done the proper way. And I also believe that I have a big social responsibility to the young people of Trinidad and Tobago who try to see sport as an opportunity to get their way out in life. For far too long, Trinidad and Tobago football and Trinidad and Tobago sport believe in mediocrity and see their competition only as Trinidad and Tobago. At W Connection, our competition is Barcelona, Real Madrid, Manchester United, Manchester City, because that's what you see on television every single day, and we need to compete with that. That's why we insist that we play attractive football. That's why if it's not looking like TV, it is we are not ready. And that is why we insist on playing the game the proper way, playing the game as professionals. But I have a burning desire, I have a burning passion, I have a love for the game, and I honestly believe that we can have a sustainable organization and we can be an example of other clubs in Trinidad and Tobago, and we can help improve the game. I want to also pay special tribute to Caledonia, and it's not because Caledonia helped us lift the league, but when one looks at Caledonia are one of the few clubs that have progressed, because in the early stages, Caledonia struggled but Jamal Chabaz, top with Caledonia, and W Connection and Caledonia are the only two teams that have the same technical staff for the period of time. And that is showing some stability. Caledonia has probably won 4 trophies in the last 5 years. And from actually winning none over the years. That shows progression. And you have to commend that. And that shows that people with passion, people who have respect for the game is going to reward you. And I believe that the game is going to reward W Connection and by extension Trinidad and Tobago football for what we put into it. I also want to tell you that I want to pay a special tribute to our technical staff and our head coach and technical director, Stuart Charles Avery. He's a master at the game. And I don't think Trinidad and Tobago gives him the respect that is due. But I tell you what, if Trinidad and Tobago don't respect him, W Connection respects him and loves him. And he's a great credit to our organization.
All right, David.
Really appreciate that answer. Omar.
Yeah.
You have, you think we could sneak in two questions from the website?
Yeah, go through.
Right. Somebody, here's a simple one. W Connection is a South team or a Central team?
Well, boy, to put it this way, you have to call us a Central team. And you see how we evolve, it is very difficult. My organization is based in Point Lisa, so our head office is in Point Lisa. We train at the Atto Boldland Stadium, which is in Central Trinidad. The reason why we got the name the Sabaneta Boys is because our first campsite was the Hydro Agri compound, which we rented, which was in Sabaneta. So everybody coined us the Sabaneta Boys. So we have to consider ourselves a Central team. But mind you, some people say Central and South is the same thing. Anytime you pass the Caroni Bridge, you're South.
Right. they're people from North.
Yeah, well, that's how they say it in Trinidad.
Right.
I have to say that we are Central-based team.
Okay, and why don't run for TTFF president?
I've been asked on many occasions to do that. I've been asked to play a more important role in Trinidad and Tobago football. I believe I can make a contribution, but I have a different philosophy towards that. It's difficult for me to run for TTFM president and hold on to my passionate love and desire of W Connection. I think sometimes perception sometimes is reality. I think that we still have a lot of work to do at W Connection. I think the next 3 to 5 years of W Connection will be the most important years. I think if you look that the baby is born, the baby has gone through his young life and he hasn't died. Now the baby has become a teenager. Now is the time where we have to continue to shape him for him to become an adult. And if we can get through this difficult period of teenage, what we call in peer pressure. Well, let's say we're now 13 years old. I think the organization could then be on a solid footing. You know, I thank God, I thank the staff, I thank all the people that have supported W Connection to see us through all these difficult times and that we are still existing as an organization. And I think that maybe in a couple of years' time when W Connection is really on that solid footing, I can then consider running for office of the TTFM. Having said that, I still make my contribution, but I make my contribution very quietly, and I try to do what best helps Trinidad and Tobago football. Testament to that was getting Mikel to Los Angeles for Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, my daughter worked tirelessly in getting him there, you know, to make sure that he got there. And it wasn't our responsibility, but we felt that it was a duty for the player to represent his country, and we did our best in that regard.
So I think we're going to wrap it up. David, I just want to thank you for joining us here on the podcast. It was definitely a pleasure getting your insight and your views into the team and the local game as a whole.
Yes, it's always a pleasure. I just want to tell people, that despite crowds not being in the game, the level of the local league is on a very, very high standard. And when I get calls every night from people like Richard Roy, Willis Plaza, to come over to Vietnam to earn a decent living, it augurs well for Trinidad and Tobago. And it's always a pleasure to make my contribution to the Soca Warriors website. And I think it has been a pleasure. I'm honored to be part of the podcast tonight. And I want to thank you very much for that.
Thank you, man. As always, thanks for joining us on the podcast as well.
Yeah. It's always good, man. I say it's a vibe.
It's a vibe. So look out, you know, we have others in the future. We have a couple more coming up with other personalities in the game, and probably some players as well. www.sokawarriors.net. Check it out. So guys, from me, I'd like to say good night. God bless.
Good night.